Hello, welcome to Underdressed, the podcast where we talk about the clothes under our clothes and exactly how they get made. My name is Trudy Gardner. I'm the freelance designer behind Wayfinder Lingerie. In this show, I'll be exploring the art, practice, and technical execution of intimate apparel. We'll be taking a behind-the-scenes look at this industry and trying to understand exactly how designers balance creativity with functionality, specifically as it pertains to our hardworking yet delicate base layers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the show.
I've been listening to Lex Fridman a lot lately. I love, do you ever listen to that podcast?
No.
We should definitely. I'm going to give you some recommendations. Yes. But I was listening to one with the FBI negotiator. He wrote a book called Never Split the Difference. I was telling you about that last week. And it's he's so good. I love him. Anyways, I'm inspired by podcasts. That's why I'm bringing that up right now at the beginning of this one. I guess I should do an introduction. I have Sophia on again, our favorite person to be on the podcast. And we're doing a bit of the idea was to do like a reverse interview where Sophia interviews me, but I think it's also just going to be a random discussion as it usually ends up being with us.
Yeah.
So welcome, Sophia. Thank you for being here. I love having you on the podcast.
Thank you. I love being here too. Like any excuse to talk to you is a good excuse.
Totally. So we're excited. Clo3D just launched the big new 2024 big update, new user. Well, the user interface is cleaned up a little bit. It's generally the same, but it looks a little bit different and some new features which neither of us have explored yet. But time to update our courses again.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know if they affect our courses a lot. We will have to see.
Yeah, just from a quick overview, I didn't see any major things that I needed to update, but there's some things in my course that I've just learned over the past year that I want to incorporate in there.
Yeah. I did an update when the 7.3 came with the soft body avatars and elastics and stuff. But maybe I will review it.
Yeah, those were a little more applicable to what we do.
Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Do you want to ask me some questions?
Yes.
Okay. Miss interview.
Now, I think your listeners pretty much know your general story, but for anyone who doesn't know, Trudy was a military pilot, and I'm always very fascinated by her story, because in my mind, military pilot and lingerie designer couldn't be more further away. So how did you become a lingerie designer? What brought you into lingerie?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like over the past several years, I've been trying to reconcile that too. Like I've been asking myself the same thing. Like, what is it? What is it that made me love flying, but also makes me love sewing? You know what I mean? And specifically intimate apparel. And I think for the reason why I got into intimate apparel was because it's a personal problem. It's a problem that I'm very familiar with. And that's the thing. I love problem solving. And even when I was training as a pilot, majority of what you're doing is problem solving. You're figuring out, you spend a lot of time figuring out why something might go wrong and talking about how to fix it. And I think that's it. It's just, I have the small back, large bust, very hard to fit size range. And I also love being able to do things myself. So when I realized like this information is available, I can find information on how to solve this problem myself and then address this problem that I've had my whole life, ever since I was a little girl and I first started getting breasts, I could never find a comfortable bra that fits, right? So being able to make it myself was really, I don't know, just satisfying. It's just very satisfying to be able to do it. And then as I was on the journey of learning how to sew lingerie and intimate apparel, I realized it's not an easy skill. Specifically, fitting is very difficult because like you have to address like the construction's not that hard to figure out like how to put a bra together, but how to manipulate the pattern to fit gravity and curves and soft tissue, like it's a journey I'm still learning as I go, and I really enjoy like that learning, the growth and learning that comes from it. And at the end, it's solving a problem that I have, and I know like a lot of other women have, so I enjoy spreading that knowledge when I can as well.
Ah, interesting. I knew about your like problem-solving mindset. Yeah. And another thing that I'm very curious about like your previous history before becoming a lingerie designer. Like, I guess that the military is quite a male-centric environment. How was that like? How do you find that change into the lingerie industry, which is more or less the opposite, like very female centric?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah, so definitely when I was a pilot in the military, we're 10% of pilots were female. So most of the time I was the only female pilot on squadron or even on most of my courses. There might have been one other like throughout. And then in the lingerie industry, it's the majority of people that I interact with are females. It's the, again, it kind of goes back to the work. The work is so much different. Like now, as a designer, we were just talking about this, like especially from the aesthetic perspective, the problems that you're solving are so much different than like when you're flying and it's like the problems that you're solving are to keep the aircraft safe, you know, and to keep like to make sure that your flight is efficient and you're going to get to where you want to go safely and efficiently. And then it's more than a difference between male and female, it's a difference between the work. So like that's what your objective with flying is to safely and efficiently get to where you're going. Where the objective with design, although like I love the functionality of it, like I love like working on the functionality of garment and then also the aesthetics. It's like there's so much weight placed on the aesthetic of the garment. So there's just different, like there's different focuses on the different arenas, I suppose. I don't know. And like both as a pilot, even as a designer, like I don't feel my gender plays a lot into it. Like, I love the work. Like whether I was flying or whether I'm designing, I love doing the work. So like I'm not saying that gender doesn't matter. It does in work, in like employment situations, gender does play a role. Like even I, when you look at it from a broad perspective in the intimate apparel industry, I find it very interesting that a lot of the companies are run by males because again, like they're not familiar with the problem. They might be familiar with it from like an intellectual and economic perspective, but not necessarily like a personal perspective. I feel like I was rambling. I started answering this question by saying like I'm trying to find the parallels between these two worlds and I don't always like find them. But yeah, I don't know if I feel the gender difference so much, except for that, like the problems are very different.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, obviously, in an ideal world, your gender like shouldn't play a role in your working capabilities or like your, I don't know, like your professional expertise. But obviously some fields are more like gendered towards one place or the other. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm very much against that popular belief that usually technical skills are more like for men, and like things related to beauty and nice things are more like for women. Like, you can do Either way, but yeah, like coming from an industry where you as a female were more like the exception, and now coming to an industry where most of us identify as women, it's yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because you think like the females that I've worked with in the military were very feminine. Like it's not like it's just because the work in the military was driven by a lot of like engineering focused objectives. It doesn't mean you had to be like a masculine person to like achieve those objectives, right? Like there's, and that I think there's a whole lot to unpack with that because it has to do with the culture that we live in and the way that we grew up and the things that we're exposed to. Like there's, we're like I remember when I decided to become a pilot, part of the reason was like, oh yeah, why not? Like why can't I do this? It wasn't something like I grew up wanting to do. But when it came time for me to like decide on what my career would be, it seemed very appealing. Like, yeah, I could do that. Like I'm good with, you know, my hands and feet, and I'm very adventurous, and you know what I mean? I know, like I'm not afraid to try this. And I feel like I take that to me, take that along with me into the creative space as well. Like I'm not afraid to try anything.
Yeah, you are not. You're always experimenting.
So, and I think that's the same thing. Like I think the options that are presented to us when we're coming of age are very gendered, and they're still very gendered. I read like the most infuriating post. It was just like this generic post about how it was actually about 3D designers, how there's not a lot of like female 3D designers, and not like specifically for like Clo and the kind of 3D design that we do, but for more of the, like once you get into like the computer, like Blender and like the more computer sciencey programs, that they're more male dominated as well. And because like a lot of the times those are motivated by video games, and video games are marketed towards like a more masculine like taste, I guess you could say. And again, that doesn't mean like females can't like violent video games. It's just generally like that's what's more popular. I don't know, man. It's complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah, like I think it's interesting, like now that you have both experiences to compare. And like on the same topic, like coming, I always like your story too, because it's a bit similar to mine, not the same, but we both studied a different thing and we were doing a different thing, and then later in life, not super late, but not just like doing our degree, but like later we came to the fashion industry. So you came from a very different industry or like area. What kind of challenges did you face when you came to the lingerie industry that now you're working in?
I think one thing when I first started, so I had spent 12 years in the military. I was an experienced pilot. I had like I was, you know, I was an aircraft commander. I was used to like leading missions and knowing exactly like here's the rules that you follow, here is the orders, here's how you do things. And I took those and I learned them and I can apply them to real life situations. And then when I entered the lingerie industry, there's no rules, there's no book for me to like reference. There is no like this is the way that you can like you get things done. It was lots of bits of information from like different places and different ways of doing things, and they could all be applicable. So I found that difficult. And then like trying to build a career in this industry, like I had to start from a place where I'm like, I know nothing. I know nothing. I know nobody, but I want to get some experience. And so like I'm all the way at the bottom again, which was that was a bit of a like transition for me. And I feel like I'm getting more comfortable being in that spot. And I've also gained some experience over the past couple of years. So I'm not all the way at the bottom anymore.
Yeah.
But I think that was hard. Like coming from a place where I felt very comfortable, like and very experienced to a place again where I was like very, but I also love being in there, like to be honest. Like I love because now I'm on the learning journey and I can like it's also very fascinating.
Yeah. I think that every time you start learning something new is like you are back in high school again.
Yeah,
Like you're
exactly.
back like, oh, where is it? Where's
Yeah,
the knowledge?
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like now that you are like experienced, like you said, they just said that like now you gain some experience and you are more clear to what you want to focus on in your practice as a professional, as a person. If you like are doing like a fast forward 10 years, what do you see? Like, how do you see yourself in 10 years?
This is a hard one. Yeah, I've been
Yeah.
trying to like kind of ever since I got out of the military, I've been trying to think like, where do I see myself in 10 years? When I first got out, I didn't even know. I didn't know I was going to get into sewing or Clo3D or freelance designing or anything like that. And it's kind of been just unfolding in a very like organic way. Like I follow the things that are interesting to me. And like I just keep pulling on those threads that I like first it was sewing, and then it was sewing intimate apparel, and then it was like pattern drafting, and then it was Clo3D, which is amazing, right? And then it was teaching, right? Like there's a lot of people were reaching out to me and asking me about teaching Clo3D. So I just want to be doing more of this, just more of it, like more teaching, more designing, more 3D design. Yeah, and if I'm like in the same place, but more experienced in 10 years, I think I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, that's nice. That I think that means that you really like where you are now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I could see myself doing this for a long, long time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Flying was hard for me because it was fun when I was younger. And like I said, it was very adventurous, but it was you're away from home all the time. Like all the time you're away from home. So, with a young son at home, and being in the military as well, same thing. Like you belong to the military. So they say you're moving or you're getting deployed or anything. It's like that's part of your contract. And so like this lifestyle that I've been building is a lot more, like I see it as a lot more sustainable for me.
Yeah, I can see that, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I loved serving, and I loved the people that I worked with, and I love the experience that I gained. You really do give your life to it while you're in.
Yeah. Okay, and now that we like in the past, not even 10 years, like in the past 5 years, the fashion industry and the work that we do has changed a lot. Like 5 years ago, I didn't even know that 3D existed. Like I was still drafting by hand because I didn't have access to a pattern making software because they were all like super expensive, Gerber and Lectra, blah, blah, blah. And now we are all like making patterns in Clo and doing 3D designs and all that. Where do you see the fashion industry in 10 years or in 5?
The podcast is so much fun because I get to talk to people who like are working on these things. The one that I released last week with Katie Schildmeier, I definitely recommend listening to that one. But she says like by 2027, she expects that we're gonna have like more realistic avatars that can actually be used. Like you can extract patterns from them. Like you'll be able to take like kind of, I think the idea is like what we do in Clo right now, where you can extract a pattern from the avatar, but it will be like a real usable pattern.
Yeah, because right now it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. So I definitely see between like that kind of work that is being done and like all the benefits that like the way that we'll be able to apply AI to figure out a lot of those things that are just wrong right now. Like if we can help AI to understand like this is the right way to do it, I think pattern drafting is going to get a lot more automated. I think we're going to get a lot more realistic avatars, and I think it's just going to get better. Like it's the technology, like I feel like the fashion industry is behind in terms of like adopting the technology, but it's like clearly being worked on by a lot of very smart people, and eventually I think that the industry will catch up and understand that like we talk about it all the time in my own personal practice. Even a tank top, I made a tank top the other day. I'm not gonna There's no way that I'm not gonna like draft that pattern and mock it up on a 3D model before I actually sew it, because it's like right now the practice is we sew things and then we throw them away. Like, here's my muslin, it didn't work and it goes in the garbage. Like, you can save so many of those steps by like mocking it up digitally, trying it on digitally, and then going to your physical product. And I don't like I still fail to understand like how that's not the standard yet. Like, why isn't everybody doing that? But I think I just realized, like, just this I'm working on a project right now, and I'm doing a 3D design for them. And I think a lot of the times designers just get so bogged down in the details. Like, we're not seeing it. They're not seeing the 3D product as something that's a prototype for their physical product. They're seeing it almost like as another which I'm
Another
not.
sketch or something like
Yeah,
that.
exactly. Like another sketch or something that's going to be used for marketing. But that's like that marketing aspect of it should come, like I think it's getting confused. Like the order should be pattern, 3D sample, like refine the 3D sample until you get the pattern and the fit right, and then you can like take that garment and keep modifying it to perfect it for like a marketing picture. But like we're at a place where it's like they just want a 3D sample of the idea of the garment off a tech pack, which goes to like they want like to use it for marketing. But like we're modifying the pattern and we're doing some like 3D tricks to it that aren't really that useful for the actual physical product.
I feel the same. Like, I feel they are losing an important part of the process and like the actual meaning of 3D or like using 3D marketing that is like have a very close representation of the actual garment so that people go to your website or your Instagram and can see the things, like the real things that they are going to get. Like, you do the pattern, you do the 3D sample, you do the physical sample, see that everything is right, and then perfect the 3D mockup or like the 3D prototype to be as close as possible to the final thing that the client is going to get. And then you can use that like to do these cool images when you see the insides of the garment and all those things that are so difficult to capture with just regular photography. They are is much easier to capture with 3D. Like, I think that's the real value of 3D, like to help the people understand the garment better. Or like when you have like you don't even have a physical garment yet because you are like a startup or something and you have an idea, but you need the funding or need to convince people that this is the thing that you're going to get. But yeah, I think that part of having the 3D be a representation of what you're going to get in reality. A lot of people don't make that connection.
I think, and I think it just gets like it's just so new, and like they're trying to adopt it and they just want to get to the end right away without, like looking at the full value. We talk about it all the time because like when you build your 3D garment in this way where you start with a pattern, you refine the pattern, you refine the details, and then you like at the end build out your like fully like detailed 3D garment. Now in the end you have a product that has the right fabric, the right colors, the right stitching, the right like fit of the garment, right? And that's the value of a 3D file. It's not just an image, right? Like it's not just like this, that, and this is where it gets confused with AI, because AI, you can tell it like, I want a swimsuit with a hot pink colorway, you know what I mean? Like, and a floral graphic on it, and you can like spit out like an image in the end. But that image is just an image. Somebody called it 3D render the other day. I
Yeah, I
got like,
know. I have seen that on LinkedIn. Like, there's a company that translates your 2D illustrator sketch or like hand sketch into what they call a 3D render, but it's not a 3D
A 3D render is based off a 3D model. Like it's an image based off a 3D model. You can take that model, you can turn it around, you can modify it, you can put different lighting on it to get like different effects. It has an X, Y, and Z axis, like all modifiable and made out of mesh. Turning a 2D sketch into a 3D image is an image. It's an image. It's not a render. Like
Yeah, it's like putting
that.
an Instagram filter on it. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
you make it
exactly.
pretty, but
Exactly. Yeah.
you're not doing anything else with that. Yeah. And like, I think that is actually hurting the value of 3D because, yeah,
Yeah.
you lose the practical side of it. Like, you know how the garment is going to fit because you are using your real pattern and you are using a fabric that has the same physical properties as your fabric. So, yeah, like, simplifying it to a pretty image is the worst you can do. Like, that
Exactly.
is useless.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
So
that's
now
like,
that
yeah.
we are into 3D, our favorite topic. So, like, you now are very experienced, and I would say you are one of the most experienced person or like more knowledgeable persons, specifically in 3D for fashion and in 3D for intimate apparel. I know very like very little people that have the same expertise as you. So how do you see your own 3D journey so far? Like in which part of that journey do you see yourself? And especially, are you proud of the thing that you have accomplished? Because you should be.
Yeah. Oh, Sophia, I love you. So I feel, I hope you know how instrumental you have been as part of that journey. Like, there's not a lot of us. There's not a lot of us that like are, or not a lot of people that I've connected with. And I would say, like, my level of expertise is mimics your level of expertise. We've learned together, right? Like, we've problem solved together and figured out like ways of attaching the underwire. You know what I mean? Like, we share tips and tricks that we've learned, which makes our combined learning curve like exponentially greater, because we're sharing the problems that we have, and we're able to now learn from each other rather than having to learn every single one independently. That's what I'm most proud of. Like, I'm most proud of like the people that I've been able to connect with through this, because we have another friend, Leisha, who's been on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and just I connected with Leisha through, 3D, and Kristen. Like, Kristen's a huge, like, I've learned so much about the industry and pattern drafting and the way that product development works in intimate apparel, all because I have been on this 3D journey. So I love the skills that I've learned. I love the way it's applicable in the world. I love the way where I see the industry going with it. And most importantly, I love the people I've connected with through all of it, right? Like, it's this beautiful network that I really, really enjoy being part of.
Yeah, I think that the fact that we have been sharing all that, like one week I have a problem and I ask you, Trudy, help. And the
Yeah,
next week you
exactly.
have a problem and it's like, oh, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And it's like we are learning double time. Like the same
Exactly.
when you watch your YouTube videos at 2x speed.
Yeah. That's my
I
tip. That's
can
my tip for
tell.
anybody out there. I watch everything in 2x speed.
I hate that. But yeah, like it's like we are doing that in at double
With each
speed
other, for
because
sure.
yeah,
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like I think it's so important to also I think it may like I have a theory, maybe I don't know, but I think we both come from other background and then came into fashion, and fashion has this reputation of being very competitive and everybody's super secretive and you ask things and people never answer. So I think maybe because we came from somewhere else, we don't have that ingrained thing about being protective of our knowledge. So we are like, I don't know how to do this. Okay, I'm going to help you. And
Yeah,
then the next
exactly.
time it will be the other way. And
I haven't experienced it that much, but the fashion industry definitely has a reputation. And I have seen it a little bit where just nobody shares knowledge. Like, knowledge is guarded and it's valuable, so they're not going to share it, right? Like, and it is hard to find. It's a small niche that we're in. Like I've been trying to find an expert on like small back, large bust, like lingerie, and I haven't really connected. Like, I've met a few people, but I haven't really like been able to access their knowledge. Like, they're not meeting me with me on a weekly basis, or they're too busy. That's not their priority. There's the home sewing community where a lot of knowledge is shared, but there's not a lot of like industry professionals getting together and sharing knowledge because not done. And it's also like, there's like, when you're a freelancer or when you're an employee, you're always getting made to sign these NDAs. So you're also scared to share your knowledge. Like, am I gonna get sued if I like, what I mean? If I like help this person like develop a pattern. So I think it comes from like the top down that people are scared to share knowledge. And I agree, like, we come from a different background, and learning independently, like, we both did like diplomas in fashion design after we had already started learning how to sew and stuff on our own. So we came from a place where we're like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm gonna figure it out. And whoever's gonna help me along the way, like I'll take that help, Whereas I think in the fashion industry, when you're getting into it, when you're younger and getting into university, it's already competitive, right? Like, I'm competing against the people around me to get into the university. I'm competing against the people around me to like make the best garment to stand out so that I can get a job. So, yeah, I think it's the nature of like the way that it's
Not
learned.
everybody's like that. Like
Not
there
at
are
all.
some
No,
exceptions.
no, no.
But
No,
yeah, I think it's like a general.
yeah. No, like I said, I haven't experienced myself. This is like my own like interpretation of what I think goes on. Because when I went to school, it wasn't like when I did my diploma, it wasn't like that. People were very nice. But I was gonna say something else. Oh yeah, when I was going through pilot training, I was super, super lucky. There's about 10 of us on the course, and we were all very close, and we studied together. And we, like, when you're going through, when you're going through ground school, you get your lessons, and we'd all take our notes, and then we'd all share our notes. And like, so when it came time to the test, like, some people took note of different things that were important than we took note, like, than I took note of, so that once that combined knowledge was shared, when it comes time for the test, like, we've covered everything. And that was absolutely the best way to learn. And then the same thing with like flying. Like, you go on a flight, like, you would do there were these nav flights where you'd have to, it was called low level navigation, and you would have to fly a route, and at the end of the route, you'd have to hit your target. You have to make sure you're hitting the right target at the right time. Like, there was a very specific amount of time that you had to fly this route. And so, we'd come down from our low level nav and be like, okay, the target was like, you have to look for this red house on the side and look to the left of that, and you'll see the target. Like, we would share tips like that. And at the end of that course, we were told that we were one of like the tightest knit groups, and all of us made it through the training. And we did it together. So, I don't know. There's so much to gain from shared knowledge, is my point of all that.
I think that fear that sometimes we have that if I share this with this other person, it's going to be my competition, it's going to be better than me, it's going to be worse for me. It's actually the opposite. Like, yeah, like there are some nasty people that are trying to get advantage, but that is the 1%. Like, usually when you share things, you get back something that is better. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, like I, speaking about 3D and like your evolution, where do you like, is there a particular like direction you want to take now with your 3D practice? Like, do you want to focus in some area or like some specialty?
Okay, so right now, as you're asking me this, what I'm interested in getting back to sewing. I accidentally dropped my poor sewing machine, so that's why it's there behind me, being sad and not usable right now. But the point for me of all, like when I started learning clo, was pattern drafting. I love it. I love pattern drafting, and I've been doing a lot of pattern drafting in clo, and I've been seeing the garments that I, the patterns that I make, made by factories and come back, and I can evaluate the fit in that way. But I've been missing my own practice, like my own, like sewing it and understanding that construction and, you know, putting things together. So right now, I think my focus is going to be on getting back to like the physical part of it, to really like solidify the whole process. But in terms of 3D and the digital space, what I'm most interested in is the like texturing. Like I'm really enjoying like getting really accurate fabrics, both physical and visual properties of the fabrics. I want to explore Adobe Substance. I really like what's possible with Adobe Substance, and I want to get a scanner, like a really high quality scanner. I mean, ideally, I would love to work for like a company that used Vizu scanners so that I was like using actual like Vizu materials. But since that's like $40,000 for a scanner, like even just like a high quality, even just like a high quality scanner. Catherine Schildemeyer on the podcast a couple weeks ago mentioned SETI Textura is a really good program to look into. So that's something that I want to check out as well. I really love the idea that, so we love the idea that we can make a garment in 3D. I also really love the idea that you can make a cloth in 3D. Like you can, she was saying with like SETI, like it can measure the actual like physical properties of the threads within the fabric. So I like to explore that area some more.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like even I said I'm not interested in learning Adobe Substance, blah blah blah. I started the other day with Adobe Sampler,
Oh
and it's fun. It's fun. So let's
Yeah,
see, like
cool. Yeah.
at
And I
least
think
like yeah, to try around and yeah.
I know you're pretty good at Photoshop, and I feel like having that background in Photoshop. And again, it's just like it's another 3D program where you start, when you start understanding the user interface and how this fabric is built out, like, because it's just like you start with like a material and then you start applying modifications in layers to that material to affect like what you want to see out of it. I think it's pretty cool. I know you're more interested in the avatars. Have you made any progress with
Not yet.
modifying more realistic?
I am like I have this project of like making an avatar with accurate more or less measurements and all that, but I got sidetracked and I'm doing an avatar that I think maybe I will be able to test it this weekend for corsetry, because and I want to make it, it's like I set that difficult challenge for myself, because you know that in clo, if you make a corset, the corset is not reducing the waist of the avatar. Even with the soft body avatar, it's not great. So I also wanted to try and make an Edwardian corset, the ones that have this like S shape, that they like the the vast was very forward and the
Yeah.
bad was very backwards.
Yeah.
So I'm using Blender to do an avatar that has that shape, so I can dress
Oh, I
it
want to see
with
it.
a corset.
Cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
let's see what comes up from that.
Yeah. I was working with my own avatar, my body scan one, and the mesh on it is very, there's holes in it. So like I made the tank top and there's like a hole right here in the where the solar plexus is, and it's just like sucking in. So I was like, I need to just like bring that into Blender and remesh it. I think I have enough skills to do that basic like modification right now. But there is, so you're using Blender, and there's I know you were playing around with is it not MetaHuman, Meta
Make human.
Make
Yeah.
Human. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you made any more progress with that one?
I think I really like Make Human. Like
Yeah.
I find that's really very confusing. And for some reason in this computer, I never get it to work right. Like in my laptop, it works better actually.
Oh,
Like
weird.
there's, I think it's something to do with the firewall or something, but I've tried everything and still there are things that don't work right, so I lose my patience very easily with that. So Make Human is like, for me, I think is going to be the answer to all of
Okay. I
them.
haven't got
Yeah,
a chance to play with that one yet, but I'm gonna
yeah.
have to check it out. Or I don't even think I downloaded it yet.
It's like when I get like more comfortable, we can do like a tutorial or
A little
something.
tutorial? Yeah, let's do that. Let's
Yeah.
do that. Cool,
And
cool.
speaking about like our specific skill set that is in intimates, like cloth 3D for fashion is already like a niche, and then cloth 3D for intimates is a niche within a niche. And it's so difficult to find resources and learning and other people that are as crazy as we are. Like, so we went to a workshop hosted by Chloe on this topic. And I want, like, I already know most of your thoughts, but what are your thoughts about what?
So the workshop was a Clo 3D intimate and swim workshop, which we were like super excited about, but also I think we both kind of went into it with a grain of salt because we were like, we know what kind of information is out there when you start asking questions about how to make a garment in make like an intimate apparel garment in Clo 3D. Most people, or I don't know most people, a lot of the answers that I a lot of the conclusions that I found about that were they were using the pen to draw the pattern on the avatar. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. So you draw the pattern on the avatar, and then you export a pattern from it. And that pattern that you export is not usable. It's not, it's you have to make a lot of modifications to actually use that pattern and make it simulate nicely on the avatar. So that's kind of, I think, what we were expecting when we went into it. Basically, from like the 3D world, there's not a lot of respect for pattern drafting. It's like use whatever you can get in the 2D window to make something look good in the 3D window. But I think our approach, like I said earlier, like I want to be able to make physical products. I want to be able to make clothes that fit me because that's what I need in my everyday life. And so like when you don't make it right in 2D, then what you end up with 3D is an image, like which is kind of similar to AI, right? Like now you don't have a pattern that's usable with your, like you have an image that represents the idea of your garment, but you don't have a pattern that you can actually use for it. And Clo 3D, like it's the 2D side of it is amazing. Like it's so good. You could, well, when we first started, you were only using the 2D side of it. You weren't even using the 3D because like you're a freelance designer, and that was one of the most affordable, effective 2D pattern drafting programs that you could find. And in the workshop that we did, it was more focused on like creating a nice 3D garment rather than creating a garment that was representative of the physical garment. So I learned stuff. Every time I go to clothes, like I always sign up for clothes 3D workshops because there's different applications to how people want to use clothes 3D. Like some people just want to use it for video gaming. And if that's your objective, then it doesn't matter what you're doing in the 2D side, right? But I think our objective is quite different. So although there's always little tips and tricks that you learn by watching somebody else go through the development of a garment, there were little things like that I never like knew before, like how to re-symmetrize a pattern after you've like removed symmetry. Like I never figured out how to do that. And I mean, you figure out other ways like when you don't know how to do it, but it just gets you like if we are at a place where we're like 95% confident, like that not that other 5% is really hard to access, like those little things that you don't know. So that's why I go to those workshops, and that's what I was expecting out of it, like just to level up things that I didn't know. So there was lots of little tips and tricks that I learned, and I appreciate Chloe and I appreciate their expertise, and they were very professional. I would love to see a lot more focus based on like the full scope of the program, respecting the 2D side of the program more.
Like I think they were super nice. The instructors were super nice. They knew a lot about the program and like 3D, the 3D side, a lot of tricks. I learned some tricks too. Like it's always, as you said, like it's always valuable to see another designer, especially if it's like a very experienced designer, do their thing, like do their workflow, and you always learn something. But yeah, like I think it was a huge missed opportunity to show the actual value of 3D. Like you can get your pattern. You don't need to use like some shady pattern or like some like 3D pen pattern that is absolutely useless in the real world. That like, you can use a well-made pattern and see how it fits the avatar and see if there is some kind of problem. Because that problem is going to be present when you make the garment and put it on a person. And I'm seeing that every day. Like I work with clothes 3D like doing that, like specifically doing that, like testing patterns and seeing them in 3D, and then the sample comes. And even when in 3D it was like, I don't know, maybe it's a 3D thing. Most of the times it's going to be present in the physical sample. So like I've seen how accurate it is. Of course, it's never going to be 100% accurate, but it's so useful. And they are not talking about that. Like the people who created the program, they are not talking about the most useful thing in it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I and again it goes back to like collaboration and shared learning. Like we learned a lot when we went to that workshop, and we both talked about afterwards like there's a lot we could contribute to like making that workshop even better, right? Because we learned from them. Like they're the Clo 3D experts. I had questions about texture maps, which he was able to answer right away, you know, and things about like there's a lot of like Clo 3D is a big program, just like Adobe Illustrator, right? Like, there's a lot more, like there's a whole like applications to like the 3D world that I don't feel like very confident or versed in. There's a lot of parts of the program that I just don't use that much. And they'll be experts, like Clo 3D generally are experts in that. They're experts in how the program functions, but they're not necessarily experts in pattern drafting or technical design, or and I'm sure some of them are, but they don't. It's not an emphasized skill set, which I agree, I think is a mess.
And related to this, like I think we both have tried to get more 3D projects and like convince our client to use 3D, and there's always this kind of resistance. And I'm thinking that maybe that lack of like pattern making training or like fashion skills, maybe of the people who are usually like like doing the trainings in Cloud 3D or like showcasing their work in like Instagram or whatever. Most times they are not pattern makers or like fashion technical designers, whatever. So I think they fall into that trap of 3D is just to make pretty things. So do you think that is also one of the reasons why the companies are a bit reluctant to adopt 3D technologies?
Yeah, it fosters distrust, right? Like like if I'm curious about 3D and I go to a demo and they show me this like cool like pen tool where you can extract a pattern, and then I see that pattern, I'm like, oh, that's not the way a pattern's supposed to look, and it's working in 3D. Then I'm like, oh, okay, so all it is for visualization. Like that's, if I go to a demo and that's what I see, that's what I take away from it. Like, oh, it's not that useful. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure I'm on record. I think I have like one of my first YouTube tutorials saying that like it's not that good for pattern drafting or fitting in 3D. And a lot of people will say that. A lot of people, like somebody, a 3D expert that I talked to recently, said that it's not usable for intimate apparel. And I think part of like the distrust is that when they say that, they're not talking about creating a pattern from an expert pattern making background on the 2D side and then trying it on the garment or trying that on the avatar. I think they're seeing it from a place of like, you can't, like, you have to have a certain amount of pattern making knowledge to trust whether what you're doing in 2D is appropriately being reflected in 3D. I think it helps that like as technical designers, we've seen the pattern go from pattern to digital sample to physical sample, and then we bring that back into our the physical sample pattern back into our Clo 3D to make the changes, and then we can see how those changes reflect between the physical garment. And like you were saying earlier, a lot of the times it's the same, like the things that you saw in 3D were the things that you need to change, but you can also go wrong, right? Like I'm thinking back to the beginning of my pattern making days, and like even on hand drafting by hand, and then like you make the changes and then you sew up the garment and it's the wrong change. Like Clo 3D can maybe tell you that that's like that change might work, you know what I mean? I think it's just a matter of getting experience in the program in combination with like physical experience, that's the best way to like amplify that knowledge. And I think it's really like helped me as a pattern drafter when I make a change, like if I need to shorten the underarm seam, how am I going to do that? Is it a projection issue, or is it a like tension issue on the elastic? Or like there's various different ways that you can make a change to a pattern, and you can go through all those iterations in Clo, and not, you know, if you're physically drafting by hand, it's like way longer and slower and more wasteful.
Yeah, like I think for us that do that all the time, it's so clear that everybody should be using that.
Yeah.
Like everybody should be testing their patterns in 3D. Like
yeah.
For a company, it's like a no-brainer. Like
yeah.
Like maybe you are saving one or two or even three samples if you just try the pattern first in 3D and modify it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to have someone who is proficient in both pattern making and Clo 3D, and maybe that's not as common.
Right. Yeah. Like I've heard in general that Clo 3D has only been good enough for pattern drafting probably since we started. Like before that, it wasn't really reliable as a pattern drafting program. And so that's probably part of it as well. Like maybe somebody's like, oh yeah, I tried Clo 3D 6 years ago, but it wasn't very good. Like Clo, even in the time that we've been using it, it's come so far, right? Even in the past 2 years with the updates that we've seen, like it's been, like a lot of good stuff. And like when they change things and they break things, they fix them, which I really appreciate. Like it makes me okay with like when they break things, because I know they're gonna fix them.
Yeah, And I think we like with this mentality that no, cloud city is just good to make pretty pictures. I think we are hurting ourselves as pattern makers because I see more designers that are using cloud city to make their own stuff, but then their patterns are shady than pattern makers. And like we should be the ones excited about cloud 3D and what
I
cloud
don't
3D like anything
understand.
so
I don't understand if you're a pattern maker how you're not excited about it. Like, 'cause that's what I love. I love the pattern drafting. I hated pattern drafting and then making the physical sample, and then it sucked because my pattern sucked. Like, I love pattern drafting. I hate going wrong with it, right? 'Cause it's such a waste of time. It takes so much time. I was going to say something else related to that as a pattern maker. I wish, and again, I think it goes back to like the whole, like the industry not sharing knowledge. So pattern making specifically for intimate apparel design, like you're hard pressed to find a designer who works professionally in the industry who's going to like sit down with you and teach you how to make intimate apparel. Like, I don't know, maybe they're too busy working. Like, there's no time. There's no time to like, teach, but it's not that easy. It's not that easy to find. Except for
And like
you. You're one of the first that I found that was actually like willing to like share knowledge with me.
because is that what I said, like I very few times I found an occasion where I shared something and that wasn't good for me, like even when I had my brand, I got a lot of questions from people. Where do you find your fabrics? Where do you find your lace? And usually, like if the person was more like seemed more or less nice, like say hi and thank you, I would share that information. Like
There is an
obvious.
annoying way that people ask, like they don't even address you by name,
Yeah,
like and it's just
that I
like
hate. But if they were nice enough to have a conversation, I will say, yeah, I buy my fabrics from there and like my laces from there. Like if the chances that we are going to choose the same exact lace are very small. And even so, what I'm going to
You're
do
gonna
with
have different
that is going
aesthetics.
to be so different. So what's the point in trying to be so And I think that's the same with 3D and stuff. Like we need also more collaboration with designers. Like we as pattern makers, I think the strength of 3D, like a lot of pattern makers, I think they are a bit afraid of like, oh, 3D is going to, I don't know, like make us useless in a way. Like, no, like you should be using that.
Exactly. Yeah, it
And
makes you better.
Test the patterns and then collaborate with a design with the designer, and the designer will say like, change the color, make the straps smaller because like I don't know, it's like more elegant, whatever. Like
Exactly.
that's the nice thing that you can both work on that and achieve so much better results.
Totally. And so, speaking of which, that's sort of my goal with so Kristen Anderson has a workshop series called Intimate Conversations in Clo with we which we are both a part of, and that's what I love about it. It's a collaborative space where like we're coming up with designs and we're designing together in Clo, and like I think it's super fun, and it's also just something that we're testing and evolving. So I can plug that now. It's like I'll drop the link to it below. It's called Intimate Conversations in Clo, and it's just a place for us to like learn and grow and share together. So
Yeah, and the good thing is that there are designers and technical designers and
that's
pattern
right.
makers.
That's right.
And like there's I think that's the closest we can get to see how like a very good workflow that we could do in a company, that having the 3D pattern maker doing the thing and then the designer do like
There
doing
together, we can all be in the same room talking about it as it's being developed.
Yeah, like no, that my vision was that it was longer. No, but like
Yeah.
I had in mind a wider elastic, or you know.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, let's make that ring smaller, but we're using a 1 inch elastic. So, you know, or like a 3/4 inch elastic. Let's make sure we're using a 3/4 inch ring, like things like that. Like you'll have the designer talking about the aesthetics, you'll have the technical designer talking about like the accuracy of the design. You have to, the pattern maker talking about like the best way to make this pattern fit really well. You know, that's the objective of that. And like I said, it's growing, and we have like the whole point is having a diverse range of experiences. Because some people are, you know, Kristen's been in the industry for something like 15 years, and then like I've been in the industry for like 2 years or something, and we have everybody in between. And I think this space has a lot of potential.
Yeah, like not even for 3D designers. I think it's interesting for everybody, but because
Yeah.
you see the work of a pattern maker like in real time.
Yeah.
Like, and the work of a designer also, like, and how they complement each other and how like how it should be really. Like,
Exactly.
designers shouldn't be in their own room doing their creative designer things and
Exactly.
pattern maker doing their, like,
They
they
all
should
do it
be together
together.
too.
I love it. I love it. So the next one is actually, I think it's next week Friday, and the garment type is going to be a teddy. I have my design sketched up already, so
Ooh, I want
that'll
to
go in
see
the pot. Yeah. And Sophia, I won't be there next week, unfortunately, but Sophia is going to be there, and Monica is going to be the one like actually doing the design. Monica's a experienced technical designer. She's been in the industry like 10 years, and she has good experience in clothes. So I wish I was going to be at that one, but I'm going to be on March break with my son, so that's going to be fun too. Yeah.
Yeah, have fun.
All right, Sophia, I got to wrap this up. I do have work to do.
Yeah.
Oh,
And I had finished my list of
you
questions.
finished your list of questions. Thank you so
Perfect.
much for this like semi-reverse interview. It's always fun talking to you. I love it.
Yeah.
Do we have any parting words?
I don't know.
I don't know. Go check out Chloe. Go check out the new, well, go check out the new Chloe, and then maybe me and you can have a podcast talking about the updates like in a couple weeks or something.
Yeah,
That's
perfect.
great. All right. Sounds good. Okay.